postseason baseball back in town today. 1 o'clock. Okay. If you don't have a television, you don't have a radio, you're busy at work, your boss will understand. Playoff baseball back in town. Best of three. Guardians, Tigers, Tarek Skubal, best pitcher in baseball. Gavin Williams, best pitcher on our team that has pretty good pitching. Let's get it going. I'm Jeff Phelps, Dan Menigan, in for Andy Baskin today. Let's go, Dano.
I'm so ready for this. I really am. This is outstanding. This is everything you can ask for. I hate the three-game series, if we could get that out of the way right now.
I can't stand it.
I despise the fact that this is a three-game series. I wish it was five, but I know we don't want to have baseball being played while it's snowing.
I wish it was seven. I actually wish there were fewer teams in the playoffs, as you know.
Right. You and I are the same on this.
One of my... It's ridiculous to have so many teams in the playoffs after you play 162 games, because all this becomes now is a tournament. You don't get the reward that you deserve for winning your division. And that's the Guardians and anybody else. You just don't get the reward.
I hate the fact that this is what we are working with, but it's what we are working with.
Yep. So you got to deal with it.
So we got to deal with it. But I am with you. I am so ready for this. I am ready for this three-game series. I'm ready to see Skubal for the third time in 2 weeks. I'm ready for everything that's about to happen. Frankly, I'm borderline ready to see if the magic horseshoe seems to fall out of the Cleveland Guardians at some point, because it has been wedged in them for the last month.
Where is the horseshoe, Dan?
I believe the horseshoe is located where Andy Baskin is currently. Never mind.
Okay.
Never mind. Thank you very much. AB, hope you're well.
Thank you very much. We're going to talk a lot of Guardians today. The game time is 1:08. So can we be honest? When we get to 1 o'clock, we're talking football like crazy, because anybody who wants to talk Guardians is watching the game.
I mean,
okay, we get that. So we're going to talk a lot of Guardians leading up to game time today. We are going to talk Browns with Mary Kay Cabot coming up at 11 o'clock. We're going to talk to Chris Ossenheimer, who covers the G-Men for the Chronicle-Telegram. He's at 11:40. Our buddy Travis Hafner, former Indians first baseman, designated hitter, coming up at 12:20. So we have a lot of stuff coming up. Here we go. Gavin Williams, Tarek Skubal. Just as when the last time they faced each other, Dano, first team to win. I think first team to get to three is going to win this baseball game. If somebody gets to two, they probably win this baseball game. You could make the argument that if somebody scores, they win this baseball game.
I think 2 and 3 is the way to go. I don't think we're going to get 1-0
as Gavin
Williams have been playing. But you're right. It's going to very much turn into who of this team's can step up and actually get some hits who aren't named Riley Green and aren't named Jose Ramirez. And that's what this is going to come down to, is it's the supporting cast of all these. We know Jose Ramirez is going to get his. He's actually done really well against Skubal in his career. It's kind of surprising how that has gone. A .333 batting average, a .400 on base, and a .472 slug.
That's pretty impressive.
Against the guy who's a 2-time Cy Young Award winner, you'll take that. The problem is that everybody else who has faced Tarek Skubal looks like their batting averages and on base percentages during the regular season. You know, he essentially erases them. So the question that's going to be there is, okay, who else can put together quality at-bats against Tarek Skubal? And how do they make sure they capitalize on those quality at-bats? I'm fascinated how this is going to go, because, again, you're seeing him 3 times in 2 weeks. You should have a scouting report hammered in stone by now, right?
You would think so.
Yeah.
I mean, there will be no surprises between these two teams. I mean, they know each other. They know what to do. The last time they faced Skubal, if it weren't for a fluky inning, the Guardians probably won't score.
No fluke. Guards ball.
3 balls that don't even hit the infield dirt. And that's your rally. You know, and then unfortunately David Fry getting hurt, and then Skubal without any warm-up pitches after the whole David Fry situation, doesn't get any warm-up pitches and spikes a ball. I mean, that was a fluky inning. We all know it. And hopefully they can actually do something other than have a fluky inning today against Tarek Skubal.
Agreed. They need to hit the ball with some authority. But we've been saying that for 162 games.
Right.
That they need to hit the ball with some level of authority. My fear with this Guardians team I've always been a firm believer in ball go far, team go far. That's always kind of been my philosophy when it comes to the playoffs.
Explain.
Teams that hit the most home runs tend to go the deepest into the playoffs. Reason being, you're not seeing the bottom of anybody's bullpens anymore. You're not seeing the long reliever most of the time in those bullpens. You're not seeing fourth starters. You're not seeing fifth starters. Hell, you're basically not seeing third starters. You're seeing the best of the best when it comes to these teams and what they can offer. So therefore, being able to piecemeal together six hits or five hits or whatever it takes to get runs to come in is a lot harder to do than it is to draw a crucial walk and then hit the ball over the fence. So that's why I've if you look at the history of baseball and the history of teams that have done really well in the World Series and that, it's ball go far, team go far. That's just the way that this has always turned into since the dead ball era, with good old home run Baker figuring that out in the early part and then everybody catching on slowly but surely. Home run Baker, true American hero.
You lead the league with like nine?
Yes.
Yeah. For whatever this is worth, and we're not going to lament too much how bad the Guardians offense was for most of the year. It all starts over today. Team batting averages are 0-0-0.
That is correct.
Right now, the Guardians over the last 30 days, so basically in September, when they made their incredible push, hit 242, which was middle of the pack in Major League Baseball, according to MLB.com. So middle of the pack. Dan, middle of the pack is a significant improvement over what they did earlier in the season. And so the offense woke up a little bit in the month of September. That's good. And, you know, you're seeing guys, you know, for instance, they won the last game of the season. Was it a big deal? No, because they already had the division clinch because the Tigers lost. However, I do think it's a big deal for momentum. Brian Rocchio hits a three-run homer to walk off the game. Brian Rocchio, if you remember, last year, late in the year, postseason, was very good. That's a great carryover, I hope. You know, and there are things like that that I think might bode well for the offense as you go into the series against Detroit.
Brian Rocchio has been the third best hitter in this lineup since the All-Star break. Like, if you look at all of the numbers and all that stuff.
Should that scare you?
It probably should. It's a factual statement. He's been a league average hitter since the All-Star break, which for this team is like, congratulations. I mean, you're at the top of the Faber Pledge class, or the Delta Pledge class, I should say. Like, good for you in that regard. You need those kind of guys there. I hope so for Rocchio's sake. I have been a Rocchio believer for a long time.
I like him a lot.
If this hammers at home, and this hammers home how good that guy can be, and you can shore up either second base or shortstop, however you want to look at this, because Lord knows they can't quit Gabe Arias. So if you
love Gabe,
they love the guy.
Them some Gabe.
You can't, for some reason, they can't quit him. But yeah, those are the guys that you got to look at and say, okay, it can't just be Jose Ramirez dragging, and the starting pitching, I should say, dragging the rest of this roster by their teeth. There's got to be more to this. There has to be more success that can come from other people. And hopefully Brian Rocchio is one of those guys. I'm fascinated, Jeff. I'm fascinated by every last bit of this. Like, you said the league average batting average thing. It reminds me so much, and I bet there are other people out there who are this way. I was a horrendous Spanish student. I was forced to take a foreign language in high school. I took Spanish. I couldn't get it to save my soul.
You're a French for me.
Thank you. I couldn't get it to save my soul. But if you put the answer in front of me in a multiple choice, I could get the answer right. So my grades through Spanish.
Which is why multiple choice really is not the way to learn.
It would be a lot better if you'd, you know, went to Mexico or Spain or any of those, and they gave you A, B, C, D as you were talking to people, I'd have a better shot. But the moral of this story is that I would get a D in the first quarter, a D in the second quarter, and then get somehow a B+ on the midterms and finals, which would raise my grade, which feels like exactly what you just said, which is that you got a D in the first month, you got a D in the second month, but hey, in the month of September, you were league average.
You got a C+.
Therefore, I passed. I'm a playoff team.
who knows what happens here? All I know is I'm not going to be able to get the thought of this offense out of my mind until I see him do something to Tarek Skubal that we don't expect them to do against Tarek Skubal. And because it's a three-game series, Dan, which you hate, I hate, and if you don't beat Tarek Skubal in game one, you've got a problem. I know your games are both at home. You know, the whole series is at home for the Guardians because they won the division. That's great. But if you're down one zip and you've got to win two straight, it puts anybody who loses game one in a three-game series in a huge hole. And that when you can roll out Tarek Skubal, that's a big deal. So fingers crossed for the offense. You could flip it and talk about Gavin Williams going for the Guardians because he was outstanding against Detroit this year. He was really good. Stephen Vogt had very little to think about when it came to who he was going to start in game one against the Tigers.
Gavin's been incredible. Obviously, we've talked about him all year long, just the strides that he's made, the development that he's come along with. You know, from the start of the year to now, it's just been incredible. Incredibly fun to watch. And, you know, it's a lot of factors, obviously, the way Gavin's been pitching, but also it keeps him in turn and doesn't, you know, push or alter his routine by much.
Which is a good thing. You know, the way things got managed out, if they had to win, if there was something going on for the postseason and that last game against Texas, Williams would have started and then they would have improvised. As it looks now, it's going to be Gavin Williams, Tanner Bibee in game two. Tanner has been up and down this year. When he's been good, he's been really good. And he's given up a lot of home runs. So there's that. And then our guy Slade Ciccone going in game three. I like that. Nice rotation. It gives you a couple of other guys. If you happen to need somebody in long relief, you could throw Joey Cantillo. You could throw Logan Allen in those situations. It sets up really well for this team. And that's a good thing. And it's just stunning what has happened this season. And because of what's happened this season, Dan, I don't think you can put any restrictions on your thoughts for this team as they start the postseason. I mean, you overcame being 15 and a half games out. And it's never been done before. So you've already accomplished something that's never been done before. What's more preposterous? Winning a couple of series and getting to the World Series and winning it in this situation, or overcoming a 15 and a half game deficit? The more preposterous thing is overcoming a 15 and a half game deficit. You can win some series. So I'm not going to put any restrictions on this team. I don't think the offense is very good. It's not very good. They showed us that. But that doesn't mean that this thing couldn't get really fun.
Enjoy the ride. It's all you can do. And I know we're all scared of Skubal. The Tigers.
I respect the guy like crazy. Man, is he fun to watch.
The Tigers had an ace before who won a couple of Cy Youngs.
Mr. Verlander.
And there was one team that kind of figured out how to hit him. And one team that kind of figured out after a little bit, like, okay, this is how we attack this guy. This is how we find some modicum of success.
Modicum. Nice word.
Faced him 58 times. That's the Cleveland Guardians, who ended up with the fifth best OPS against Verlander with a 708, which means this team can scout. This team can figure out how to hit.
Can they figure out how to make the fan base confident as you go into this series?
I don't know if it's a pro or a con. It is, you know, and of course it happened this way. You know, we know them well. They know us well. It's three straight weeks of a early week series. And it's going to be fun. It's always fun when we play Detroit, and we're looking forward to it.
Yeah, they played them 13 times in the regular season. The Guardians won 8 of the 13 games, so 8-5 against the Tigers. And remember, you know, the Tigers were kicking everybody's you-know-what for most of the season. I mean, they looked like the team. And then they went flat, and the Guardians didn't. And the Guardians make up 15 and a half games. That's the scary thing for me in this, Dan. I think the Tigers are a much better team than the way they finished. And, you know, now you can make the argument the other way. If they were a really good team, they wouldn't have fallen flat like they did. That said, I wonder if they stay flat or if they find it. And it's a three-game series. If they can find it, they could make a great run. Because I think they have some real talent. If they can't find it, Guardians win this thing.
Without question. I mean, I wonder the same thing. I mean, averages are averages. We all know that. You know, we've all seen it enough times where you get the guy who starts super red hot in the first half of the season and then cools off. Team works the same exact way. I wonder the same thing that you are, where it's like, it can't possibly be as bad as it was in August and September for the Tigers. Like,
I can't imagine that it will be.
I don't think Javi Baez is going to hit at the level that he did in the first half. Javi Baez was insane for the Tigers in the first half, and he completely fell off a cliff.
What a bust that whole signing has been for the sports team. I feel bad for him in that regard, because I don't like to see players fail. And Javi Baez was phenomenal with the Cubs, and it just hasn't been the same in Detroit.
It's what happens when you get guys who swing and miss a whole bunch and don't walk. I mean, it was a reason why he was out there for as long as he was. It was one of the last signings of Mr. Ilitch before he passed away, and they're stuck with that contract until it's done. You know, it's one of the ways that stuff goes. But, like, I still think Spencer Torkelson can hit for the Tigers. I still think Kerry Carpenter is really good. Riley Green has shown you he's really good.
What a season. He's had the season that they've been waiting for him to have.
Yeah. There's enough. Dylan Dingler, outside of the fact that I keep wanting to think that he's the name of the main character from Boogie Nights every single time he comes up, I keep thinking that he's Mark Wahlberg's character, but he's been hitting the cover off the ball as well, especially out of the catcher position.
Which is, you know, congratulations.
I want to call him Dirk Diggler every single time.
Do you?
Every single time I want to call him Dirk Diggler.
Well, the folks in Jackson Township wouldn't be real happy with you about that.
Oh, I feel bad.
Wouldn't be happy.
Every time I want to call him Dirk Diggler.
Number to join us, 216-474-0092. It's the best of three. Guardians against the Tigers. Matt, I hope you're on your way to the game. Welcome to the show.
What's happening, Matt?
So unfortunately, I'm working today. I'm on a break, but yeah, and that's honestly what I want to talk about. Like most, there's a certain part of me that whoever wins the series, obviously I'm hoping the Guards win, but I'm hoping that whoever wins the series comes out and absolutely floors everyone and makes it to the World Series. I'm hoping the Reds and Brewers, like one of those two teams, makes it to just to stick it to the MLB for the stupid scheduling. Like, the fact we're playing today at 1 o'clock when,
it's,
you know,
ridiculous.
Everyone...
It's ridiculous.
I'm sorry, and I know it's going to sound, you know, like potentially anti-Cleveland, but like whoever comes out of this series, whether it be Cleveland or Detroit, obviously hoping for the Guards, I hope they absolutely clean the clock out of everyone, and Manfred has to stare at this Guards ball for the next full month. So let's go Guards. Let's shut up the national media. Shut up stick it to ESPN. Stick it to MLB. Stick it to Fox. And you know, let's make a run for it. I we can hold off our criticisms of ownership until after the season, but you know, right now it's you know, I hate to use the stereotypical Cleveland gets the world, but right now it's Cleveland gets the world.
All right, Matt, thank you very much. I understand why this is scheduled the way it is, but I hate it. Here's the thing. If you're a baseball fan and you have no job and the ability to do this, you can turn on your television at 1 o'clock and watch baseball until about midnight tonight.
As someone who has a job, I will probably do that.
There it is. So that, I have a problem, that can though. Happen. You can be watching baseball for 12 hours today. However, does that serve the fan base of the teams involved very well? I don't think it does. You know, I'm not going to be able to watch all the game on TV. I'll have some of it on here in the studio during the 1 o'clock hour. I'll drive home. Anyhow, 1 o'clock's a tough time to watch a game during the week. However, they're not catering it to the folks in the ballpark. They're catering it to the television networks and the money that gets generated by that. I understand that. It just stinks because we're the team playing at 1 o'clock.
Would you have taken one of those Cubs-Padres games, which are being played at Wrigley, and played it at noon Chicago time?
You could have, except for one thing. Now you have a balance, and every team that's in the postseason here in the wildcard round is able to completely schedule thing. There's going to be no short turnaround, and that's part of it. So they're on the same schedule for three straight days. I get that. That's probably better. You know, like if you were playing, if the Cubs had to turn around and play tomorrow, and you know, be back at the ballpark earlier than they will be today and everything else, is that fair to them? Eh. I mean, they do it during, you know, they do it
during the season anyway.
Right. They do it during the season. Do you want to do it in the postseason? I don't like the way this is. I don't like the 1 o'clock games for our team, but I understand why they did it, because they want wall-to-wall baseball on television during these 3 days. I get it.
And they want to make Yankees, Red Sox as close to prime time as humanly possible, because the minute that ESPN got that and realized that Toronto was not going to be in there, they just immediately started drooling on themselves. I mean, like, you, if you listen closely, you could probably still hear Rob Manfred drooling on himself.
I couldn't agree with you more. And then you get Shohei Ohtani as well.
And then you get Shohei Ohtani
and the Dodgers. Yep. Mm-hmm. Followed up with that. Steve's in Cleveland. Steve.
What's up, Steve?
Hey, guys. Go Guards.
Go Guards, baby.
I'm not worried about any of this. This is all house money, guys. We didn't expect them to do what they're doing, especially when you look back in July and August. You're like, you know what? If they make it as a wild card, we'll be lucky. And look, they're not the wild card. We're hosting the thing.
Yeah.
So everything we do is you know, house money. So I have no problems with it. And if you look just in history, guys, when teams are you say they're down and out and they can't do, yeah, granted, majority of the time they fail, but this could be the year. I mean, just everything's lining up. No one would expect them. It reminds me of, like, Butler that played and won the championship. Nobody expected him to come and do that. That these things happen in life. No one can explain them, but it happens. And this could be the year.
Stranger things have happened, Steve. And I say that because it did this year. As you just said, house money. I get it. That's exactly what's going on. Stranger things have happened. They were down 15.5 and they won the division. That's stranger than putting together a postseason run and winning some playoff series, which you're very capable of doing with the pitching that this team has, Dan.
Absolutely. They're going to keep you in every single game. I don't see a situation where one of these games even ends up seriously as a blowout. I mean, they've had that.
It shouldn't, but you know how pitching can go.
Of course. You've had that streak going for so long with the starters, and Parker Messick ruined it. Why? Because he went 7 innings and gave up like 4 runs, which you'll take any day of the week.
Yes.
Like, that's the part of this that's so funny, is it's like, oh my gosh, he didn't allow less than 2 runs at a start. It's like, yeah, no kidding, because he's human.
What did it end at? 19 games?
Something like that. Yeah, 19 games, I believe it was. And it was just because a starter gave up 4 runs. Guess what? That happens every single day in Major League Baseball, that a starter gives up 4 runs. Like, Clayton Kershaw's given up 4 runs. Shohei Ohtani's given up 4 runs. Hunter Green's given up 4 runs. You know, Scooples giving up 4 runs at a start. Like, this happens all the time. It is amazing what they've been able to do. And I think it's going to continue. I think we are going to have really tight nail biter games throughout this entire Tiger series.
And that's okay.
Oh, it fits right into what the Guardians want to do, man.
Exactly. And remember, they were in this situation last year, and Stephen Vogt, in his first year as manager, had him in the postseason. Here's what he had to say about this team in the postseason and knowing kind of what's going on.
It's just fun. Like, you can't take any of these opportunities lightly or for granted. It is so difficult to get into the postseason. And I think now, having done it once, you kind of know what to expect. You kind of know how fast it goes. You know that anything can happen at any moment, and just be prepared for it. Trust our preparation and go out and have fun.
That's the thing. When you play a full season, 162 games, and you get into the postseason, even in the expanded playoff format, which I don't care for very much because you played 162, you know who the better teams are. But when you get there, I mean, that's a reward. And as Steve said, this is bonus baseball, but it's bonus baseball for everybody. It really is. And the grind is getting there. And I've always thought the big prize, and unfortunately it's not the way it works, the big prize is that you end up with the best record in the regular season. Well, to me, that usually shows you're the best team. Usually. Sometimes not. You know, maybe there are injuries or something else and you get guys back. But you don't get it. You don't get anything for that. You get a, hey, congratulations, now you get a best of 3 or a best of 5 and then a best of 7. Hmm? So, and you've got to do it all over again. But you get there and you get in. And once you're in, Dano, once you're in.
Who knows? I have your postseason roster for the Cleveland Guardians, if you would like it.
All right, let's hear it.
The big part of this, worth paying attention to, George Valera made the roster. Petey Halpin made the roster.
Petey made the roster.
Petey's on the roster. Jonathan Rodriguez, Chase DeLauder on the roster.
He's on the roster.
On the roster for the wild card series. They kept 15 position players, 11 pitchers.
And they can reset the roster after the first series.
Correct. Your pitchers, Gavin Williams, Tanner Bibee, Slade Ciccone, Cade Smith, Hunter Gaddis, Sobrowski, Festa, Heron, Junis, Cantillo, and Kobe Allard.
So Logan Allen is not on the roster.
Logan Allard not on the roster. Wow. Parker Messick not on the roster.
Okay. You understand that because it's a three-game series. You're going to need three starters. They chose to go with guys who weren't starting pitchers, Kobe Allard in the long relief role.
Mm-hmm.
Kobe did a nice job.
He did. He's looked very good for them.
Yeah.
I don't know where I would go differently. I don't know what I would look at differently at this point. There's nobody really available. I mean, I've made it known I am not the biggest Matt Festa fan. Tim Heron still makes me want to bite some of my fingernails off, but he's been way better in the month of September. Like, I have no notes on this. This is probably the direction I would go. Everybody else that is on the position player side is who you would expect. It's Bo Naylor, Austin Hedges, Kyle Manzardo, Jean-Kenzie Noel is on the postseason roster, CJ Kafis, Jose Ramirez, Stephen Kwan, Angel Martinez, Brian Rocchio, Gabe Arias, Daniel Schneeman, and then Valera Help and Rodriguez DeLauder. So that's what you're looking at on the position player side, which to me screams, buckle in, kids. You've watched guards ball with hockey line changes every single time the arm of the pitcher changes. Be prepared. You're going to need a lot of slots on that official scorebook.
Can I just throw this one at you? This is where this offense is. You're in a three-game series, winner take all. You know, you lose, you go home. They've put a guy who's never played in the major leagues and is injury prone and really didn't find his swing all season long on the roster. And in the first game, you're going up against Tarek Skubal. So you've got a left-handed starter, Chase DeLauder. If he starts, I'd be stunned. But you've got a left-handed hitter, and you put him on a three-game run, and you're going up against Skubal. And he's never played in the major leagues, and he's on the playoff roster.
Sixth player in the modern era to make his debut in the playoffs.
That's where the offense is. Guess what? Everything they've done so far this year has worked well enough that they're playing extra baseball, so God bless them. What do you think of that move, folks?
The intention is for the starters to pitch as long as they can. That's the intention of every single game that we ever play. So I love the way our starters have been throwing, and we have a really good bullpen. I feel very confident in this group going into tomorrow.
And they adjusted things with the roster release to back that up. Welcome back to Baskin and Phelps. I'm Jeff Phelps. There's no Baskin today. There's a Dan Menigan in for Andy Baskin. Jax Gregory is behind the glass. The man taking your phone calls is Matt Corrale. And that number is 216-474-0092. We got the all-star cast of the Young Bucks today.
I know.
Corrale and Gregory.
Hanging with the kids. This is all right.
Gotta like that, baby.
It's all right. Like me, feel young over leader a little bit.
He's filled out a nice staff.
It is. Yeah. He has.
Nice job.
And we're not totally just saying that because he signs our checks.
No, not really.
Yeah.
No. Mary Kay Cabot's going to join us at 11 o'clock. We're going to talk some Browns. But big Guardians conversation as we get ready for the game coming up at 1 o'clock. Chris Ossenheimer is going to join us at 11:40, covers the G's for the Chronicle-Telegram. And Travis Hafner, our former buddy who played first base. Well,
he's still our friend.
Current buddy, former first baseman.
Yeah.
Joining us coming up at 12:20.
Get his guards thoughts, get the update of his Little League team.
You just heard what Stephen Vogt said about the starters. Now, let's discuss. Joey Cantillo makes the playoff roster. Logan Allen does not. If there's a guy on this team who's a little of the starters, and I don't say this in any negative or condescending way, if there's one guy on this rotation who's a little headstrong and gets a little fired up about stuff, it's Logan Allen. Parker Messick, Young, has done a nice job since he came up. I understand him not being here. It's a three-game series. You can reset the roster. Do you run the risk of if you win this series and moving on, losing Logan Allen at all?
See, I don't look at it that way. Okay. I see it differently than you do.
I didn't say I viewed it that way. I asked you, do you run the risk?
Okay.
You see what I didn't
say? But you
say,
did.
You run the risk of losing Logan Allen. No, I didn't say that.
No.
But I do wonder that because I love the way Logan Allen competes on the mound.
Right.
I mean, he gets after it. And I really like that.
He's a really emotional dude. But I think what's playing into this more is the fact the Guardians said, all right, Gavin Williams is the one. Tanner Bibee will get game two. Slade Ciccone gets game three.
No problem with actually those three decisions.
Life is good. Now, of the rest of the guys who are left, Joey Cantillo has come in out of the bullpen in the postseason in the past. We liked the way that that looked.
And was good out of the bullpen early this season.
There was a level of comfort that's there. I think that played into it more than anything involving Logan Allen starting pitcher. I think what played into it more is who do we feel more comfortable bringing out of the bullpen in a long relief role if we get in trouble? And I think they made the conclusion that it would be Joey Cantillo. So I don't think it's a slight to Logan Allen. I wonder if they see Logan Allen as a starter and not exactly someone you feel the best about bringing out of the bullpen. Where Cantillo, I think, could have both.
I agree with that completely. I'd just convince Logan Allen that it's not a slight.
Correct.
That's all they have to do.
And my guess would be to have. Stephen Vogt has been known as a fantastic communicator since he stepped foot in.
Yeah, and it's this, too. Hey, Logan, it's a three-game series. We're going to go with these three guys. Love you. Be ready for the next round.
Yeah.
Because you'll be on the mound.
It's not a you thing. It's an us thing. It's not you.
It's a situation thing. This is the situation, and this is what we have to do. Chase DeLauder on the playoff roster, and he's never played in the major leagues.
It worked well for the Royals with Alberto Mondesi. I mean, it worked well with him, man. Ignorance is bliss, Jeff. We've said this more times than we can count in many aspects of life. Damn. Ignorance is bliss.
Chase DeLauder had 148 bats in the minors this year. That was it.
Ignorance is bliss, Jeff.
Oh, my God.
I wonder.
Wouldn't it be awesome if he comes?
I wonder if they looked at this and thought, all right, what would be better for Chase DeLauder?
Oh, God.
Another round in the Arizona Fall League with the Surprise Saguaros, or whatever they're called, with the awesome logo, or being a part of this roster.
You need to get a hat for those guys.
Oh, we really do. It's such a great logo. For those of you who have not seen it, you need to see the Arizona Fall League logo that the Cleveland Guardians have. It's the Saguaros. You want this on a shirt and a hat. It's one of the best logos. It's so good.
DeLauder was the Guardians' first-round pick in 2022, 16th overall. He's been a highly rated prospect. He's had injury issues. I mean, that's basically been it for him. Ultimately, Dan, I love the idea of Chase DeLauder being your everyday right fielder next year. Let's just say that. He's your everyday right fielder next year. However, you're in a playoff series and your offense has been in such a place that you think, yeah, let's put the guy in the roster who's never played in the majors. That will help.
All right. If you want to frame it through those lenses, you're on to something.
I don't know. Mike is in Stowe. Hello, Mike. Welcome, Mike.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
We're well, man.
We got a guy on the – we think of putting a guy on the roster who's never played in the majors is going to help the offense, Mike.
See, I'm not as offended by this.
That's Stephen Vogt, man. That's what he does.
I know. It might work beautifully. It really might.
It really, you know, like he just, I think he really, I really think he has a real feel for these guys and what makes them tick. And, you know, like for a team that was so far down that we were, they didn't look like it. They didn't play like it. You know what I mean? He never had they were just the same all year. And that's really what I like going into the series, you know, and I understand the pitching matchups, you know. Just tell Logan Allen, hey, be ready. You're going to be holding that ball, either going to Seattle or going to Toronto, you know, game one of the next series. You're more than likely going to be the first starter because, you know, and who knows? This might only go two games. You know, we might get out of this with two games, and then they got to reset the whole thing. So
absolutely. It's a great way to look at it, Mike. You're right.
So, you know, he's just got to tell him, hey, no offense, we want to keep it bat. And I love, you know, what – no, we think there's going to be a ton of pressure on a kid in a spot like that. But, you know, sometimes it goes the other way. Sometimes he's never seen it, and there is no pressure. And I think that's what, you know, kind of Stephen Vogt banks on. But a couple things I wanted to say about, you know, Tarik today, in particular of this game, something to think about. Yeah, he's a tough pitcher. He's probably the best in baseball. But we face him more than anybody has this year. That's the first thing, and I like that. You know, it always goes that way. You know, remember the last couple of years when our ace would face somebody for the third or fourth time? It gets tougher. And I really think, and I don't want to throw a bad thing up in there, but I think the thing that happened with David Fry is still in his head, and, you know, potentially. And I'm not saying it's going to change a lot of how he pitches today, but I think that there's still a little bit. That's hard to do. And if you saw, you know, we saw the way he reacted. You know, he went to the hospital. He's a great guy, Tarik is. He went to the hospital and visited him.
Have you read or seen any of the stuff with that, Mike, of what happened with Scooble and Vogt and all that?
Yeah, yeah.
It's fantastic.
Not a lot of people knew that, so I really respect him. I mean, I really do. But I think, you know, it's going to be tougher. You know, a lot of pitchers have it, you know, I'm not saying it ruins their career, but they're for a little while, it's in their head. So,
oh, gosh,
I don't
know. Absolutely. Absolutely, coming in, guys.
A couple intangibles going on here, but I'm just so excited, you know, and, you know, it's just going to be a lot of fun. You know, that's all there is to it. It's a beautiful weather day, and, you know, it's just, I hate the damn time, and I don't understand it. Does anybody in Tennessee want to watch baseball at 10 o'clock on the West Coast? I mean, what the heck? If you're out there, you do, Mike.
Yeah.
The sad thing is, Mike, you're used to it.
Mike, thank you.
You're used to it with football starts and all that stuff. If you talk to anybody who lives on the West Coast, they love the fact that, you know, you wake up, grab a cup of coffee, sit down, and then there's football on.
I don't say this in any bad way. I say this in a, oh my God, unbelievable that this team is where it is. Of the 15 position players on the Guardians postseason roster for this series, 9 of them spent time in the minors this year.
It checks out.
9 of the 15. Hang on, it gets better. There are 7 outfielders on the postseason roster. 6 of them spent time in the minors this year.
Jeff, this checks out.
And Dan, 6 of them spent time in the minors, not one of them just on rehab.
This checks out. You've watched this team all season. They've continuously...
This is great.
They have brought guys up constantly during the year. Now, granted, 2 weeks to a month after, we said that they should bring them up to begin with. But they would bring these guys up all the time and then send them down and then bring them up and send them... I mean, goodness, I-71 should just be called the Cleveland Guardians Highway with the amount of times that they've gone back and forth to Columbus. I mean... How many times has John Kenzie Noel gone back and forth this season? It's ridiculous.
I think it's 3, but I'm not sure.
I mean, so few of these guys have come up and stayed up. Will Wilson, I feel like every time I turn around, Will Wilson is on a bus heading back up to Cleveland.
Am I delusional? I'm excited to see Jonathan Rodriguez and George Valera.
No.
Jonathan has stepped up and he's done real well coming up this last time. And George Valera looks like he can play.
Because it's this team and we're perpetually waiting for someone that we just heard about 2 weeks ago to roll on in and catch fire for 2 weeks before then finding his way back down Cleveland Guardians Highway to 71.
It's unbelievable. Rob's in Sagamore Hills. Rob,
What's up, Rob? Welcome
to the show.
Hey, guys. Thank you for taking my call. And I just have a quick question. First of all, I love the Guardians. I think the way they've played has been outstanding.
It's been fun.
I don't really care that they've had guys in the minors that are now on the big team. I think maybe most teams have a lot of that. I don't know.
6 of 7 outfielders, Rob.
Well, but you know what, though? They've all been able to help.
I know. You know what? They've done a nice job with it.
This is a little extreme, Rob.
It's a little much.
And guys, when you think about it, you know, they're getting paid. They're paid professional ball players, and they're dying to get to the big time. So
they won the division.
I don't know if it's that big of a deal. But here's my question, guys, and I don't understand this. I'm 73. Maybe it's past me. There are 6 wild card teams, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, three in each league. Okay.
Jinx,
why aren't they playing each other, knock each other off, and the division winners sit back and let them knock each other? Why do we have to play a wild card team when we won our division?
It's the worst record of the division winners.
The worst record of the division winners.
Okay, I guess that's the reason, huh?
Yeah, that's the one they're looking at.
I'd like to have a little more time off. I'd like the Guardians to have a little breathing room. I mean, they've been on a tremendous streak, and the way they won the game with the 3-run homer and the hit by pitch, I think they might be able to use a couple more days of rest. But apparently, we're not getting it. And you're right; the 1 o'clock starts. What a joke!
Yeah, they're not good. Rob, enjoy the games. Enjoy the games.